Our special guest for the broadcast today is Larry Goss from Norwood, Ohio. Brother Goss is an evangelist, a pastor, a Bible teacher. He's a very dear friend of ours, and we are just very happy that he is on the program today to share some from his life and to share a little of God's Word with you. I'm going to ask Brother Goss if he would begin today by telling you about when he became a Christian, about how he gave his life to the Lord. Brother Goss.
Well, it's just a pleasure to be here. And I'd like to tell you that I always enjoy coming to Oklahoma and meeting with Brother and Sister Martin. We pray that the blessings of God will flow to you as well. I received Christ as my personal Savior in 1957 while I was stationed in Alaska in the United States Air Force. It was in the month of June. And I guess if you remember anything of life at all, it's that first meeting with Jesus Christ. If I had to write a book about this, I would have to start it out by saying that I didn't know God at all. And I thought that I was a Christian. I thought that I was a Christian because everybody told me I was when I was a small child. And I knew that I wasn't a Muslim, and I knew I wasn't a Hindu. And so what else could I have been but a Christian? But I had never been born again. It was a great privilege for me to be invited to a church to where they preached the born-again experience. Now, I might sound very foolish to some, because if you've been raised around what we call the Bible Belt, this is almost taken for granted. But I didn't know anything about being born again or saved, as we say, and it simply was the first time that anybody told me how to get saved, I got saved. The first time somebody asked me if I wanted to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I said, yes, I do, and I did. I don't understand all the argument that goes on about this in some people's hearts, because I was hungry. I wanted to know for sure that I was saved. You see, I thought that you just could think or suppose or maybe you'd be saved, and when you got to heaven you'd know for sure one way or the other if you were accepted or rejected. And I didn't understand much about God's program at all.
All right, Brother Goss, I know that I've heard you share with this story with me a number of times, not only how that you were saved, but after God had saved you, how you had the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here at Christian Life Cathedral, we teach that there is a baptism of the Holy Ghost separate from salvation, another work of God's grace in our life. And I'd like for you to share with the people about the Holy Spirit baptism.
Well, I guess for me it was both linked together. And the fact is that, if my recollection is right, it was on a Tuesday night that I had received Christ as my personal Savior. And in Alaska in the summertime, in the month of June, the sun don't hardly go down at all, and it's almost like the land of the midnight sun. And I remember getting out of church about 9:30 or 9 o'clock, and the sun was still shining real bright at night. And I remember on the way home, I was thumbing a ride. I was hitchhiking back to where I was stationed, and two preachers picked me up. And they had known me from before, and they knew that I was a pretty vile person. And as I sat in the back of the car and rode along, they realized that something was different about me. And they turned to me and said, Larry, what's wrong with you tonight? And I said, well, I was looking for words to use, and I came up with what I thought was a good explanation for what had happened to me. I said, well, I got what you guys called saved tonight. And, you know, I didn't understand about the joy of the Lord. And when those two preachers began to rejoice, and I said, boy, those guys are sure dumb. I get saved and they get happy. It don't make no sense to me at all. But 2 days later, I was going to church again. And, of course, if you've tasted good water, you want to go back to the same spring. So I was on my way back to this same church. And I stopped by another church on the way. And I didn't really understand salvation. I didn't understand a lot of things about God at all. And to be frank and honest about it, there's still a lot of things about God I don't understand. But I remember on the way back this particular night, I stopped by this church, and surprisingly enough, the door was unlocked, and I walked in and knelt down by myself at an old altar. And there, whether it was a dream or if I fell asleep or I had a vision, I don't really, let somebody else explain that. But somehow, some way, the Lord himself appeared to me as though he was suspended between heaven and earth. I didn't see any cross. I didn't see a lot of things that people probably would have looked for. In fact, I didn't even understand what was going on. And as I said, it might have been a dream. I don't know. But I do know that I heard a voice speak to my spirit saying, "Come and die with me. Come and die with me." And it seemed like I woke up, but my eyes were wide awake or open. And when I came to myself, and that very night I went to church just up the street, and I was listening to a preacher. Now, I had never seen anybody receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I had never seen anybody yield themselves to the Spirit. So this was all brand new. I was only a two-day-old baby in this thing, and I had just received Christ 2 days before, and as I said, I didn't understand about a lot of things about God, but I had been reading the Bible for those last 2 days, and that night, I knelt down at an altar after hearing a sermon. It's not what a man can hold. It's what God can pour through him. I don't remember the text. I don't know what he preached, but I do remember he said to be a vessel to which God could pour blessings through. And as I knelt down, I attempted praying, and I wasn't even good at that. And I was trying to mumble something of praise and thank the Lord for saving me. And all of a sudden, I couldn't speak. I thought perhaps that I had something of a stroke or something, and I never felt the joy of the Lord. I hadn't even felt the joy of the Lord when those two preachers I told you about rejoiced. I didn't feel that. I just knew I was saved. And at this time, I hadn't felt the joy of the Lord or the Spirit upon my body or upon my spirit. And I didn't realize what was about to take place. But all of a sudden, I couldn't say a word in English. And I thought that something had happened to me, that I had had some kind of a stroke, or I'd gotten sick. Because when I would try to say, "Thank you, Jesus," something else would come out of my mouth. And so I got up from the altar, and I said, "Well, if I'll just go sit down for a little while, maybe I'll be all right, and I'll come back and try praying again." And on the way back to my seat, a scripture came flashing into my mind out of the second chapter of the book of Acts. It was Acts 2:4, which said, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance."
Praise
and
God.
I said, that's what that is. And I turned around, went back and knelt down, and I was going to watch it this time. I was going to be attentive. And along with now this new utterance that came flowing out of my spirit, also came an anointing of joy. And I guess I got a little bit beside myself. I stood up there at that altar, and for the first time in my life, I praised God with all of my might. I guess I shouted and I praised the Lord in this wonderful, brand new found joy. I felt the Spirit of God in a sense that I never had had before.
Praise God. Brother, that is fantastic. And what God did for you in Alaska these years ago, God can still do today. In fact, he wants to do that for anybody that might be listening to this broadcast today. The Lord would like for you to receive this baptism in joy, this experience with the Lord, the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Brother Goss, for someone that might be listening and they're perhaps in a church where they don't teach the baptism in the Holy Spirit, in addition to Acts chapter 2 and 4, what scriptures could you share with these people this morning that would speak to them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
Well, the power of God is always revealed in his word. A person is no more spiritual than they are scriptural. And we maintain that the book of Acts is an unfinished book. And as a matter of fact, some of our preachers even had a class called Acts chapter 29. I believe that the book of Acts is a continuous book and will be an act of those that serve the Lord and the acts of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And we find that in the 10th chapter, the book of Acts, it tells there a story about a man an Italian, a person that was in charge of 100 soldiers by the name of Cornelius. And he received not only salvation when the Apostle Peter preached to him about Jesus Christ, for he spoke of Christ to him, saying how that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, and so on. And as Cornelius listened to Peter preach this, the Bible says, and they that heard the word, it said the Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in other tongues as well as they did on the day of Pentecost. We found that in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, also the people that were at Ephesus received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. We found that the Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, that he himself spoke in tongues, and he even said, "And I thank my God I speak in tongues more than ye all." He was also involved with this tongue speaking, this language giving of the Holy Spirit. And we just rejoice that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're hungry for more of God, if it just seems like that your spiritual needs are not satisfied, that there's an experience that is lacking in your life, we would encourage you today to receive this gift from God, the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you need help or counseling, encouragement in this matter, we invite you to call us here at Christian Life Cathedral. We'd be happy to share with you God's word about this marvelous experience. We're going to be asking Brother Goss about how God is using him today. He's just returned recently from another trip to the Holy Land. He's just returned from a missionary trip to Mexico. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. But first, here's a song by Robert Della Torre of the Galileans. Well, I hope that you enjoyed that song. We're back again talking to Brother Larry Goss from Norwood, Ohio. As we mentioned to you, Brother Goss is an evangelist, a pastor, a Bible teacher. He has been at our church on a number of occasions. In fact, I guess it's 7 or 8 revivals that I have set under Brother Goss's ministry, both in this church and in other churches. And I'd like to say for his benefit, as well as the rest of the audience, that there's not been any preacher anywhere that has helped me more, that has shared God's word with me more and helped me to get into God's word any better than Brother Larry Goss. And he is a real friend of ours. We have also preached in his church and held revivals there and shared fellowship in his home. So it's just a joy to have him on the broadcast today. I know that you enjoyed him sharing about his testimony of salvation and the Holy Spirit baptism. For several years now, he's walked with God and God's used him in the ministry. Brother Goss, if you would share with us about maybe your trip to Mexico and how God's just used you this month in the ministry.
Well, this has been my first trip into Mexico, and if Jesus tarries, I'd like to go again very soon. I found hungry hearts all over the world. This past spring, we have been in Hawaii and Florida and Indiana and in West Virginia and a number of places. And I found that people are tired of religion and they want reality in their walk with God.
Amen.
This trip to Mexico, I realized for myself that in the state of walking in the Spirit, you see things differently than you do when you just are at a place. I've been a tourist in many occasions in different places, but this time I went to minister, and being led of the Lord, I saw people come into our meetings that had walked, literally walked for 5 hours over the mountains to come and to stand out in a drizzling rain to listen to the Word of God. I was very much impressed with the interpreters that we had. Not being able to speak Spanish, we had to have interpreters. And these two men and three men that helped us with interpreting put as much enthusiasm in their interpreting what we said as though we were doing it ourselves. As a matter of fact, some of them seemed to enjoy what they were doing to the point that where it excited the whole crowd. I remember this one particular place, and I'm sure that I'm going to mispronounce the name, but it's something like Motozintla. Was up in the mountains near Guatemala. It was a little town, or it looked like a little village anyway, but it was about 25,000 people there. And we saw people, the church that they had was too small, stood outside, 800 people, and they'd get there at 7 o'clock in the morning and stay all day and listen to the Word of God. It's exciting when you see the Spirit of the Lord draw people in such a fashion.
Man, it seems like that many times in America people become hardened to the gospel. I know I heard a preacher share the story one time. He felt God was calling him to the missionary field, and he was on his job explaining it to a man that he worked with, and he said, "I feel like God wants me to go to the mission field." And this fella said, "Well, why do you want to go to the mission field for? There's plenty of places to preach right here in America." And the preacher turned to him and said, "Yes, why don't you go to church with me Sunday?" And he said, "No, don't start preaching to me." And it seems like that's the attitude of a lot of people in our country, whereas in other places in the world, God is moving by His Spirit, not only in Mexico, but everywhere men are hungry for God. Such a tremendous revival is going on in the nation Korea. And Brother Goss and I have been talking about this, how God is using a man named Pastor Cho to build the largest church in the world. Do you feel like, Brother Goss, that this revival is perhaps one of the signs that we are living in the last days of time?
Not only do I believe that we're living at the same time, of course, every generation that has come has said that.
Yes.
But that's our hope. That's kept alive by these events. I believe the Apostle Paul was looking for the coming of the Lord in his day.
Amen.
When he said, "And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Speaking of the rapture of the church and the resurrection of the dead, he was looking for it in his day. And he also said that we should be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He included himself in that. And I feel that when a person gets saved, God instills and imparts to them a portion of hope, a hope of the expectant return of Jesus Christ. I'd like to say this too, that when it comes to studying your Bible, that I really feel that people need to recognize something that's very needful today in our churches. People will say, "Well, you just can't understand it. It's just too deep. It's too much to comprehend." But God wrote the book called the Bible for you and me to understand. And God wants us to understand. I think this is what motivated me to get out into the ministry more than anything else. I began studying the Bible, and I'd go around and ask preachers, "Well, what does this mean?" And one would give me this reason or explanation, and another one give me another. And most of them would say, "Well, when I was in Bible school, or my pastor teaches it this way, or brother so-and-so believes this." And I said, "Well, what do you believe? What does it really say? Is this the truth?" And they said, "Well, I don't know." And I set my mind to find God in this matter, and I began to realize more and more that a lot of our people, good people, don't have any idea what God has in store for us.
Yes.
But if we'll read the Bible, God has promised that in these last days that He would pour out His Spirit upon us. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 1:13 and 1:23, He says, "I will pour out my Spirit unto you, and I'll make known my words unto you." So I believe that with this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there also is coming with it new insights into the Word of God.
Amen.
Where people can reap the benefits that Christ died for, that He's offered to us.
Praise the Lord. Brother, we're so happy to have you with us this morning on the broadcast. You know that we love you and appreciate you at Christian Life Cathedral, and it's just a joy to share with you today. Thank you for coming and being with us.